You're tuned to The Weekend, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sines, your host for The Weekend, and joining us today is Michelle Blumenfeld. Michelle Blumenfeld is El Paso's life coach, and people are wondering, what is a life coach? We're going to talk about that in just a minute, but first of all, Michelle, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here today.
You're welcome. I'm so excited to be here.
Now, first of all, let's talk a little bit about yourself. Are you from El Paso?
I've lived in El Paso for 25 years now. I grew up in Phoenix, so I'm definitely a desert rat, and love being with people on the border.
Tell us a little bit about, how did you get involved in this? How did you decide to become a life coach? And we're going to tell people what a life coach is in just a minute, but how did you decide to become one?
That's a really great story. So I was blessed enough to be able to stay home with my kids for about 12, 13 years. And when they entered middle school, I thought, oh man, it's going to come so fast. They're going to leave for college, and I need something to do. So I have my master's in social work, and I really didn't want to go back to that field. I don't speak Spanish. It's kind of contradictory when you live on the border to do social work and not be bilingual. So a friend of mine said to me, you'd be a great life coach. And I thought, I have no idea what that is. So I researched, and then I hired myself a life coach.
How did you know what the good qualifications of a life coach are? When your friend spoke with you, what did she tell you?
You know, I spent about 2 weeks researching and finding out, like, is there a certification? Is there accreditation? Is there a licensure? You know, because when you have your master's in social work and you're licensed with the state of Texas, I wanted to find someone to help me that was of the same quality that I was used to in my field. And there's an International Coach Federation. And so I looked up their website, and I hired someone who lived in Chicago. So I did phone coaching, and I had 3 sessions with her. And I thought, you know what? This is for me. I really want to do this. And then I did a needs assessment. I looked around El Paso and studied for about a week to see who was here and if we had coaches and what they were doing. And there was no one in town that had this accreditation. So I thought, hey, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to be the first and only one.
Well, now we don't want to keep our listeners on the edge of their seats. So tell us, what is a life coach, Michelle?
So how I explain coaching to people is, when we're little and our parents get us a coach for soccer, or you want to be the best flute player, or you're in high school and you want to be on the debate team, you have coaches that help you get to where you want to go, help you learn the game, help you conquer those fears before you go out on the field or before you have a performance. And then all of a sudden in our lives, coaches stop, right? We get to a point in our lives where we get to college and we don't have coaches anymore to help us get to where we want to go. And so for me, coaching is really about getting someone from where they are to where they want to be. And a lot of people ask me the difference between coaching and therapy. And because I did social work for so many years, a therapist is someone who helps you when you have a trauma or something goes on in your life, kind of look backwards, the history of your life, and help heal you forward, which is very important. As a life coach, I look at someone from where they are today, and I help them move forward. So we don't go into the past. It's all about now and moving to the present and moving forward through that. So I look at clients not as broken and need me. I look at clients as more as, oh, you are naturally creative, resourceful, and whole. You have all the answers. You're just a little stuck right now. So I help them move past that and go forward.
Because of the information that you just gave us, there may be a lot of, for lack of a better word, charlatans out there who will say, just send us this amount and in 2 weeks we'll do this and you'll be doing whatever you want. So how does someone make sure that they're not being taken advantage of if they're looking for someone to be their life coach?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that there's weekend courses out there, like you said, where people can hop on the bandwagon and be a life coach, a business coach, executive coach, leadership coach. You have all these different areas in which you can coach people at. But I think an accreditation is really important. The International Coach Federation has really strict guidelines for people to prove their coaching hours. You have to go to an accredited program. I was in a program for a full year. I traveled to Austin for 5 months once a month, and then I did the last 6 months by phone and online. And I took an exam, a very extensive exam, to get my coaching certificate. And then as you move up, you can get more accreditation. So I just passed my 500 hours and got my professional certified coaching certificate. So there's not licensure for coaching as of yet, but the international community has standards. So if somebody's looking for a life coach, you need to look to see what their credentials are. Just because you've been in the business world or you've been an advisor or people say, oh, you give great advice, doesn't mean you can be a great life coach. Because in fact, coaches don't give advice at all. And so people out there call themselves coaches where they're really consultants or they're advisors.
That's a good point that you made there about not giving advice, because some people might say, well, I'm going to see this person because they give great advice and they're going to help me achieve my goals.
Right. And a life coach really asks questions. So my belief is that everyone has their own answers. So you might have an issue in your life. You're stuck for some reason and you have fear, perfectionism, something blocking the way for you to see what your answer is. So instead of me giving you advice, which is really the easy way out, I make my clients work for it and I ask them questions. And so they're accountable from the moment they come into my life to the moment they leave. They have to move forward by taking the steps that necessary to get them to where they want to go.
So who are your clients?
So my clients range from 18 to 85. I have a big range of clientele, and I work in the private sector. I work with a lot of companies here in town and internationally. And my clients come with a lot of different issues. So if you're stuck in your life, it could be something in a relationship. It could be you don't know about your career choices. It could be a student not knowing what university to go to, and your fear is getting in your way. When I work with the companies, I do a lot of executive coaching with people who are frustrated with not being able to get where they want to go. They can't give the presentation they want to give. They can't stop procrastinating and get the work done that they want to on time. Or they're in such fear of wanting to please their supervisor that they get paralyzed and they can't do what they want to do. So people come to me for a lot of different reasons.
What about, because you have some life experience, first of all, as a social worker, yeah. And of course, as a mom. I mean, being a mom, you have a lot of experience being a life coach there just with your children.
Exactly.
When you get to a point where, let's say, for example, that there is someone out there who says, well, I know that I have to go to New York or I have to leave town, but I really love El Paso and I'm very close to my family. And they'll say, Michelle, what should I do? And again, as you mentioned, you don't give them advice. You throw it back in their court.
Right. So a lot of my clients are stuck on an issue, just like that example of yours. And it's hard for me without knowing someone to be able to answer that. But I can give you some examples of some different issues and people that I've seen over the years. So I started doing walking coaching. So I have an office here in El Paso. But with my clients in El Paso, when the weather's really nice, instead of sitting in my office, we walk. So I go to a park either near their office or near their home, and we walk and talk about something that's going on with them. And I find that moving forward while you're talking about wanting to move forward really helps the process. So movement is really, really important to me. One example I can give you is I had a woman a few years ago who she came to me with a very simple issue. She really wanted to cut down her caffeine intake. She was addicted to caffeine. She had tons of coffee and regular Coke all day long. And she was gaining weight and not feeling well, and she wasn't be able to be as productive as she wanted at work. So we started walking. And I started asking her about what the caffeine does for her. What does it give her? You know, we talked about safety nets and all that. And so she designed a plan for herself after we talked about things going on in her life about how she would try to replace one can of Coke or one coffee with a bottle of water. And so she designed her own way out. I was the catalyst for her to do that. And so I asked her the right questions, and over a three-month period, she had no more caffeine in her life. She was losing weight. She lost about 10 pounds, and she was so much happier and more productive at work. So that was about three or four sessions. So coaching isn't years and years going on and on. I help someone get the tools they need to design the product that they need for themselves, right? Answer the questions that they need for themselves so that they can use it again and again in their lives. And I have people that come back for maintenance. They come, you know, every 6 months or so and go, oh, I have another issue, Michelle. Can you help me see another perspective? How can I look at it a little differently? And so I have my tips and tricks of getting people to shift their mindset by just asking very simple and candid questions.
So when you're dealing with your clients, your customers, you know, they're people just like you and I. And sometimes we forget, especially some of the professionals, that you're talking to a person. You're talking to somebody with feelings. It's not just another patient, another number. And so when you were doing your training to become a life coach, just the example that you gave us about caffeine addiction shows that you had to go through a lot of different training sessions, a lot of examples, not just business, not just career, not just health issues, but everything, because the example that you gave us at the beginning, and it wasn't really an example, but the fact that you stayed home with your children. My wife stayed home with our children as well. But sometimes after the children leave, that person may experience something because they're going, wait a minute, what do I do now? For years, I was a mom. I was a chauffeur. I was a nurse, cook, whatever, everything else. And now what do I do?
Right. And I have a lot of women come to me. That's mostly my clientele. And men and women have a lot of shoulds on them. You should be this, you should do that. And it's breaking that down and really looking at what does your life mean to you? If you were to take away everything in your life and you're left with one thing, what would you want that one thing to be? Do you want to move forward in your life or do you want to move backwards in your life? And so I talk to my clients a lot about connection. Everything that we do in our lives when we communicate with other people is either to connect to them or we can choose to disconnect from them. And so that has a lot to do with trust. It has a lot to do with compassion, honesty, all these soft skills that either move you towards people and the way you want to be or away from people and more isolated. And so if people just have that choice in their mind when they're communicating with others, that little simple change can really help you be a more effective communicator and happier in your life.
You mentioned that your clients are from young people all the way to elderly. And a lot of people don't realize that sometimes when someone retires or if they lose their mate, any life-changing experience like that can have drastic life-changing experiences for them. And unless they get help somehow, they could end up worse than they were before.
Right. I have clients calling me all the time and they tell me about their exit strategy. They weren't prepared for retirement. They retired. They thought it was going to be so wonderful. And they find themselves really bored and frustrated. And so what I tell people is call me before that time and let's talk about an exit strategy. Unfortunately, you can't do that with someone you love if they pass away or if they get diagnosed with a disease. And so what I tell people is that a coach is that person that can be by your side who's really outside of your story. I don't live every day with my clients, so I'm someone who isn't family or friends giving them advice. I'm someone outside of their story who can look in and say, okay, I really empathize with what you're going through. Let's try to move you forward as slowly as possible to get you to where you want to be. And that may be simple as you don't want to cry every day. You know, you've gotten diagnosed or someone's passed away or you've had a change in your life and you want to be okay with it. And someone outside of your life's telling you it's okay and give yourself permission to cry and do the things you need to do for yourself. And then let's find a way to move forward. And when I talk about moving forward, it's not huge, sweeping, transformational changes. It's a small little pivot so that your story in your mind, the critical voice that keeps talking to you, all these negative things, can change slowly so that you can be happier and healthier.
We've been talking about different situations, and I would imagine that even just taking that step to find a life coach would be drastic for some people. They're afraid to take that step.
Yes. I love it. I get calls probably a few times a week of people like, oh, I just looked up life coach and you came up as El Paso's life coach. And I commend them. And the first thing I say to people is, wow, that took a lot of courage. To even type in those letters, it tells me that you're willing and wanting a change. I personally think that everyone should have a life coach. There's no stigma to it. There's no, oh no, you have to, you know, have somebody in your life for years and years and years and you're broken and someone needs to fix you. No, it's quite the opposite. You're whole and you're resourceful and wonderful. And you have a coach in your corner to say, hey, let's make the best version of yourself.
We were discussing before the program started the fact that when we listen to talk radio or even some television shows, we find ourselves talking at the television because we want to participate, whether it be a game show or whatever. You know, buy a vowel. This is the answer. Buy this.
Yeah.
And then when we listen to a talk show and we hear the question, we go, oh, that's exactly what I was wanting to find out. So sometimes people want those answers, but they're afraid to call in. They're afraid to make that phone call. They're afraid to look up that life coach on the internet. They're afraid, but when somebody else does it for them, all of a sudden they go, oh, maybe I should take that step.
Right. I get probably a call a week from a parent of an adult child saying, I really want my son or daughter to come see you. I've read such great things about you. I think they need a life coach. How do I get them to come see you? And so since my business is all about accountability, I can't have a parent do something for their child. And so what I encourage them to do is have them just look at my website. Have them look me up, read my reviews, look at my website. I have some videos of other people on my website, the books that I recommend, articles that I've written for El Paso Inc. and El Paso Times. Get a feel for who I am. And then just send the email or make the call. There's no obligation when you call me or email me. It's all about personal development.
Let's say that someone does make that call. And they'll say, okay, Michelle, I want to meet with you, or I want to come to your office, or I want to meet you at the park, whatever you decide. Because as you mentioned before, you have different types of meeting with people and different strategies, whether it be on the phone, on the internet, etc. Once they make that decision, one of the things that they wonder is, again, am I going to have to be going to see you for years? Is it going to be weeks? And how much is this going to cost? Does insurance cover it? That would be probably their first one. Does insurance cover it?
Exactly. And no insurance, unfortunately, does not cover coaching at this time. My price point, I think, is really reasonable and fair for the border. I charge $100 for a 45-minute session with me. And my colleagues around the country charge double that, triple that. I want to help people. I want to be there for the El Paso community. The El Paso community helped raise my kids. My husband's an ophthalmologist here in town. People go see him. So this is really me saying thank you to a community that I love.
As far as you mentioned earlier about a mother or a parent calling you and telling him, my kid wants to do this. And sometimes, as we discussed earlier about the radio talk show, sometimes that person making the call is the one who actually wants to find out more. But they'll say, my friend has this, this, and, oh, you mean me? I mean, my friend. And sometimes if they do want their child to go, sometimes that child may go, well, the only reason I'm here is because my mom made me. And that's not a good reason.
No. And what I usually say to parents who call me is I ask them to try to come in for a session as well. It's very hard to tell somebody you love in your life to do something that you're not willing to do. So when people are really not willing to make that change or step, then I encourage them to do it themselves. I have companies all over El Paso, small and large, call me. Oh, I want you to see this manager. Oh, this supervisor really needs help. They're not getting along with whatever. And so I tell the CEO, boss, CFO, whoever's calling me, okay, if you were willing to try coaching and they saw that you took it upon yourself to get two or three sessions, they will probably be more likely to come to me willingly and then open up and really change. And I found that's been really important when I go out to give speeches and workshops and facilitate things around town. I always ask that the administration, the staff, be there because I'm all about being a role model, right? If you are an organization in town, I did a staff meeting a couple weeks ago for 200, and I did a very interactive workshop that I facilitated all about communication skills that people need to work on. And I asked the CEO to be there because I felt like if the whole staff was going to be there, from the person who is a bank teller all the way up to the CEO, then that's being a role model. And they'll be more likely to get something out of it if they see that CEO participating as well. And that's worked very well. And I haven't had any objections from people wanting to sit into a workshop, wanting to get coaching, if they know it will benefit themselves and the rest of their team.
As we discussed earlier, the fact that everybody is a person, everybody has similar feelings, they go through similar situations, it's just the way they handle the situations that perhaps makes them a little different. But we've seen stuff on the internet also, statements where someone say, you should know the name of the cleaning woman or man just as much as you should know the CEO, because everyone is a critical part of that organization. And what you just mentioned, the fact that everyone being there shows that we're together as a team.
Right. I think that's really important and vital. Every person to me is a leader, whether you're the mechanic who fixes the engine or the person who runs the accounting for the body shop or the person who owns the body shop. Every single player is vital to getting the job done. And so I agree with you. I think everyone should communicate with everyone from top to bottom in every organization.
People who are out there listening right now, perhaps they are CEOs of companies or business owners. What would you say to them as far as how a life coach would benefit their company? People might wonder, okay, if she were to come to my business, let's say it's a radio station like us.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have a radio station. We don't need one at a radio station because we all know about communicating. We talk every day. But that's not the case. Correct?
Yeah, there are so many businesses, large and small, here in El Paso that would really benefit from someone outside of the organization who doesn't know details about what they do to help them better communicate, to listen to each other, to have honesty, trust, and compassion, and to be really in alignment with their own values to the mission of the company. We don't talk a lot about values in our society, but values are the key to life. You have to know what your values are to light the way, to be able to stand up straight, to put your head and hold it up high. And sometimes when we dishonor our values in whatever regard that may be at work, we get off track. And we're not doing the best that we can do. And so to be that person in someone's life as a coach in an organization, to gently remind and make people aware of who they are and how they can best serve themselves and the company through being their best selves, to me, it's really product development, right? Every person is a product. And as a coach, I help develop them. And so companies large and small could really benefit from someone coming in and saying, okay, there's some tweaking. There's some things that need to go on. Communication isn't the best. No one is interfacing. Everyone's chatting by email. But when you get people in the same room and you do a workshop with them and you facilitate talking and listening, it's really simple.
I'm glad you mentioned that chatting on the internet, because it seems that people are using Facebook now. And one of the persons that I interviewed, David McCullough, the historian author, he talked about the fact that people don't keep journals anymore. They don't keep diaries. Yet on Facebook, you'll have so many people spill their guts, tell you everything. Yet they won't tell some, you know, their neighbor, they won't tell their brother, their husband, their wife, anybody, but they're able to do it on Facebook or, as we were discussing earlier, call a talk show host and let them know what's going on with them. Why is that?
I think people have different motivations. I think that it's really an escape. It's easy to be able to put it out there in a way that makes you feel better, but it doesn't solve anything. There are so many times where you read a post about something that's gone on in someone's life. How many times do you reach out and call that person to make a connection? So it really goes back to connection versus disconnection. How do you want to connect in your life? I make personal phone calls to people. I call my friends all the time. I don't text them. I want to hear their voice. I want to see how they're doing. I call my clients. I email them as well, but I want to call and hear their voice. And so getting back to connection, human being to human being, is where it's at.
Here we are talking about connecting and talking to each other, but I'm going to ask you about social media now.
Yeah.
Because people might wonder, okay, Michelle, I'm very interested in what you had to say, but I want to find out a little bit more. Do you have a webpage or a Facebook page that they should go to?
I do have a website, michelleblumenfeld.com, or you can Google El Paso Life Coach. I do have a Facebook page, El Paso Life Coach. And to be honest, I'm not very good at it. I post things that I find relevant and articles that I read or a quote that I find. It's not my favorite source of communication, but I know that's the way the world's going right now. So don't judge me on my Facebook page. I love my website, but you know what? Shoot me an email and I'll give you a call.
Can they find the email on your website?
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here today. This half hour just kind of whizzed by.
I know. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you letting me come.
You're welcome. We've been visiting with Michelle Blumenfeld. She is El Paso's life coach. You can go to her website at elpasolifecoach.com, or you can just Google El Paso Life Coach and you want to find out more. Again, Michelle, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
The Weekend is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Lauren Terrazas. You've been tuned to The Weekend. I'm Louis Sainz.